Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood with John Paul Basham.
Yo!
We are excited to spend another episode with you as we continue in our podcast mini-series on recruiting and creating great volunteers. So far in the series, we've covered casting vision, we've covered stepping volunteers into leadership and creating that pathway for them that puts them in the best fit spot for them. We've also talked about expectations being clear, communicating them up front and throughout the volunteer process, which leads us to number four, best described by the following statement: 1 year to win the next four. So here's the reality. It takes so much work to recruit a volunteer, train a volunteer, launch them, develop them along the way, that to lose them after 1 year is heartbreaking.
It's so frustrating.
It is. It's like a punch to the stomach ministerially.
Yeah.
You don't want that. So here's what we're going to do on this episode. We are going to talk to you about how you can structure that first year so that you have a better chance of keeping them for the next 4 years, so that you are building volunteers that last a long time. Again, remember, the whole series is about recruiting and creating great volunteers. Great volunteers are ones who stay a long time, who are called to student ministry, who are on board with your vision, who are on board with your mission, who are in the trenches with you. They know the expectations. They follow the expectations. They're growing in their leadership, and they stay for a really long time.
One of the reasons that we feel like this is so important is because it gives you a longer view of leadership recruitment, and I think puts this in more of a discipleship category than just a recruitment category. A lot of times when think of recruitment, we think, I need to go find some more horses to pull this cart. It's just putting people to work. And that is not accomplishing the charge that we have to make disciples. But but all too often, we don't think about our leaders as the ones that we're called to disciple. We only consider our students. But if we're going to legitimately multiply our own influence and then empower those people to go make disciples of students, it's going to require a long view for these leaders. So if you consider that whole first year period, however long it takes you, if it's a 2-month recruitment process to get them onboarded, add that first year to that. And that first year really is teaching them the ins and outs of your ministry, making that mission and vision that you cast right at the beginning a part of the way that they process ministry, getting them to that place where they can articulate that vision and not just spit it back to you if you ask them if they know what you're about, but that they can contextualize that vision to the students that they're ministering to under your leadership. And so that just takes time. The other part in stepping them into leadership means that there's going to be some time for them to grow into a leadership opportunity. So just like we talked about in that podcast, that you don't just need to toss them into the fire and hope that they survive. Here, this part of this one-year strategy is that you've got 1 year to develop them and groom them for ultimately what you see God doing through them in the ministry.
Yeah. And just to be clear, when we say we want them to stay a long time, we don't necessarily mean with the same group of students the whole time they're there.
Right.
You just want to be building an organization of people that are continually developing. And so if we think about it like a house, when you first start with a volunteer, you're digging out where the foundation's going. Maybe you're tying the rebar, you're pouring the concrete foundation. You don't want to have to go back and do that with a whole new group of people every single year. So every year that they're with you, assuming that you're continually training and developing, they're getting better and better and better and better. So longevity for your volunteers might mean that they follow a group through several classes, but it may mean that they teach a different group every year, but that they are more grounded in what it means to be a student ministry leader.
Yeah. Or it may mean they start off teaching a group, or they start off greeting students at the front door, and they end up planning 50% of your student ministry events for you.
Right.
You know, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
But bottom line is that you have the right people. You recruit the right people from the beginning and get the right people on the bus. And then you can sort out exactly where you and they feel like God has called them and gifted them to serve.
Yeah. And one of the best ways to keep them is to do some soul care for them. You know, this links very closely to what we talked about in the last episode about the discipleship component of your volunteer leadership and making sure that they're following Jesus and a part of community. And when you show that you really care about them as people more than just as volunteers, it links them to you and to the ministry more and more. Because like you said at the beginning, it's not just, I think you used the ox, right? Like you're not just putting horses up to the plow or whatever. What'd you say?
I think oxen. I said horses.
Horses. But they're actually, they're actually real people that you should care about. And listen, we know that you do care about them. We do. Like I trust that as a student ministry leader, you care about the people that you bring into volunteer leadership. Otherwise, they wouldn't be serving there. You're not going to bring somebody in that you don't care about. I know that to be true, but I also know that showing them you care is a whole other aspect of your leadership.
Yeah, and this needs to go further than appreciation. That's one piece
That's
of
right.
that.
Yep.
It needs to lean into what are you doing to provide, and I think, Ben, you touched on this. What are you doing to provide community for those leaders? More than likely, they left some kind of community to come serve in your ministry. This is
That's
taking
right.
up time. If they weren't serving anywhere before, this is taking up time that they were probably being poured into elsewhere. So how are you making sure in that soul care equation, how are you providing community for them? How are you connecting them to other leaders? How are you making sure to remain aware of what their life actually looks like? What are they going through? What's it like at home? How's their job? You know, who's praying for them and connecting with them on a regular basis? All of that is part of that 1 year process, plugging them into the fact that this is a family that's running yeah. together, that loves one another, and we're united in this purpose of reaching students with the gospel.
Yeah, because there's two parts to people being involved in any team. You want to love what you do, and you want to love the people that you do it with. That's the same thing in work, in your job. It's the same thing in volunteer leadership. They want to love the people that they get to do this with. So you providing environments where they can connect with each other as leaders and where you can connect with them and care for them is an essential part of them staying around. You use the word family, and I don't think that's too much of a reach. I think that's the right word to use here.
Yeah, totally agree.
So along with that, so there's the soul care part of helping them stay. What's another piece of that?
So just training for the practical ministry that they're doing is a piece that seems incredibly obvious, but we're always getting the question of how do I train my volunteers? What resources do you have to help me train my volunteers? Just the week in and week out, hey, if you're on our guest services team, here are some things that you need to be reminded of. Here's some things that we can do. Here's what the expectations are for this. If you are teaching a small group, here's some tips on how students learn. Here's one way to guide conversation back to where it needs to be when you rabbit trail. Even here's how to use the curriculum that we're using, you know. We hear from a lot of student pastors, you know, I need some help teaching my leaders how to use Bible Studies for Life or the Gospel Project or Explore the Bible. And so training them in all the elements that are in the leader guide of that curriculum, and how do you use this, and how does this relate to the personal study guide that the students are looking at? All of those things, even sometimes, are things that you may have said 6 or 7 times already. But those reminders are always good. If here's just the basics of your ministry role and how to do it well, and here's an encouragement and maybe one tip to be better at it as you go.
Yeah. So you've got to continue developing them as they come on board. You know, we've said it in every episode in this series, but getting them to sign on is only the beginning. You've got to continue to train, continue to develop. And you might be asking at this point, you're saying that in order to recruit and create great volunteers and to have them that, you know, I'm supposed to win them in this year, so I have them for the next four. I'm supposed to disciple them. I'm supposed to care for their soul. I'm supposed to help them find community. I'm supposed to keep training and developing, like all these things. Where am I going to find time to do that when I'm supposed to be developing and discipling all these teenagers? It sounds like you're saying that the majority of my role needs to be directed towards volunteer leaders.
Boom.
And that's exactly what we're saying. Not at the neglect of teenagers, but think of it like this. You can only legitimately disciple by yourself a handful of teenagers anyway. So do that and then spend a great chunk of your time developing leaders, recruiting leaders, casting vision to leaders, and providing these opportunities that we've talked about, the soul care part of leaders. Because when you've cared for the souls of your leaders, they're going to be able to care for exponentially more teenagers than you would be by yourself. So yes, that is what we're saying. That's why we're spending an entire week, 5 episodes in a row, talking about recruiting and creating great volunteers. We've got one more left.
It's going to be a good one.
So come back, tune in, the final episode of this series. See ya.